Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble here. It's good to be with you. It's good to those of you who've been hanging around. Thank you for that. Those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. We got Joe Condrell joining us now. Joe's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and she is an author of a number of books, including 101 Ways to Improve Your Communication Skills Instantly, which has sold something under a million copies worldwide. And also one of my favorite books, A Millennium Primer, Take Charge of Your Life. She's a speaker, a trainer, and just actually kind of a renaissance woman, all the different things that she's done in her life. And she brings some great perspectives to our show and to my thinking. And she's our good friend. Joe Condrell, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you for having me with you.
It's good to have you back, as always, Joe. Joe, one of the things that you've done that we haven't talked a lot about on the show, and you didn't know I was going to ask you this, is your experience with the War College.
Oh, yes.
Not too many civilian women have gone through the War College.
That's true.
Have they?
No, they have not. As you know, we're a minority in the upper branches, in the upper level of the government, and certainly of the Army. The War College does include people from all areas of government and civilian agencies. Mm-hmm. I was there from 1992 to 1993, and it was a very rewarding, a humbling experience. And the military people who go there, and people from foreign countries as well, are those people who aspire to and are slated for the upper ranks in the military.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was an eye-opening experience for me. I selected the War College for my senior-level college because it would give me an opportunity to get to know those military officers who are actually on the front lines. My job was in logistics, and so ordinarily direct interaction with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly learned a lot. Their spouses were there. Their families were there. We were there for 10 months.
What was a good opportunity.
What
would be the one thing that you think that was the most important thing that you learned at the Army War College?
The most important thing I learned, I believe, was planning and strategic planning. And I learned from some futurists, too. That was an eye-opening experience, how we use people who are engaged in thinking about the future possibilities, you know, what can happen, what should we expect. And certainly what we're in now in this war on terrorism is war 21st century style.
Did they talk about the global war on terrorism as a possibility 12 years ago?
No. We weren't thinking of...
We should have been, though, shouldn't we?
Well...
We were naive.
How should we? Yeah. I think what we do is we learn from past experience and try to project that into the future. And while we've had insurgencies, we certainly have not had terror at the level that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's certainly a lot to think about because... as I see it, you know, we're heading into Memorial Day. We think about the debt that we owe to the military for all that they've done. And we don't usually think about war on American soil. We don't think about the terrorists bringing the war to us. And I think we're not grateful enough, perhaps, to those soldiers and other military people who are fighting for us on foreign soil at this time.
What do we owe? What do we owe? What obligation do you think we have to those people, Joe?
We owe them the most respect. Right now, we're going through a really sad time with the focus on a few people who were, it was a failure in leadership, in my opinion.
At the Abu Ghraib prison.
Abu Ghraib prison, mm-hmm. and maybe other places too. There was a failure in leadership. And
But recognizing all that, Joe, and obviously there's no denying what happened. We have the pictures to prove it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, isn't it also our obligation to put all that in perspective and realize that those were one or two or however many isolated events and a very, very tiny fraction of the overall core that's over there right now doing the work that they are in Iraq. And I want you to comment on that right after these messages. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's 20 Till. Joe Condrill is our guest. We're going to talk about how small businesses can impact our national image. We're back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you like to type, there's a long one for you. Either one of those will get you to entrepreneurial nirvana. If you're a small business owner or want to be, I think you'll find some good stuff there, including a lot of things about that you can find out more about our guest this half hour, Joe Condrill. There are archives there. There are articles. There are her books are there. You can find out more about her there. And plus, while you're at my website, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every week by email. And that we're now in our fifth year on the newsletter. Joe Condrill is our guest. As I said, she's the author of From Book Signing to Bestseller. And Joe, we're talking about how small business owners can really kind of contribute to our national image. Tell us why that's important.
Well, Jim, I think that's important, and I think we have an opportunity definitely to impact the national image and to take a stand for America and to help improve it. It's important because we're the people on the ground. We're the people in the communities that are respected by the local community. Because we are responsible citizens, they look to us in many cases for our opinion on what's going on in the larger world around us. And I am embarrassed by the height of the rhetoric that's going on in the political scene now and the way that the war on terrorism is being used for political gain. It's embarrassing to me that we continue to degrade our own national psyche, and you know, it's not bad enough that we've done things that we need to be sorry for and have expressed sorrow for and are correcting. We need to look at the good things. And I think that the small business person has the opportunity to be the local leader in toning down the rhetoric and looking for reason. Yes, we're going to disagree politically. We're going to disagree on a lot of things, but we don't have to attack the other person personally.
Yeah.
And we can go a long way to hold people accountable for their attacks. We need to learn how to communicate better when we disagree.
There needs to be, in my opinion, I agree with you, Joe, and I think there needs to be more of a sense of outrage when people say some of these things that are off, that are you know, off the scale, that are over the top, that are ad hominem attacks on people, like you, as you were alluding to. You know, Joe, and I think you probably would agree with me on this. The terrorists can't beat us militarily. They can only beat us they can only defeat our will and through our minds. Would you agree with
exactly.
that?
Exactly. Yes, I would agree.
And we don't need to be helping them with that. And that's what you're talking about, isn't it? I mean, there are some things going on right now where we actually are their best player in some ways, aren't we?
Exactly.
Some elements of our society, some elements of our marketplace.
Mm-hmm. We attack ourselves. We hold ourselves up to ridicule within the world. I heard one of the officials from Iraq yesterday on one of the TV shows, and they're saying, you know, that they don't believe all of Americans are represented by the few in Iraq who were abusing the prisoners. And I don't like the use of the word torture, because I don't think it was torture. It was degrading. It was demeaning. It was a lot of things, but it was not, in my opinion.
And it was certainly, it seems, and some people, apparently, the command, folks in command have admitted that it was inappropriate. And those people who did that, all the way up, and I've heard the generals say that they're all going to be, all the people who are responsible are going to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And that's something, Joe, that we ought to be holding up as a reason to be proud of what we're doing. If people do bad things, we hold them, we take them to task. We hold them to their responsibilities, don't we?
Certainly. And the people in the military, we need to remember, came from our communities. And so we should look at what we're teaching in our local communities and, you know, where is the failure? It could very well be in the systems and our moral code. You know, what are we teaching?
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't teach right from wrong and avoid that sort of instruction and upbringing, I think we can expect some breakdown somewhere along the way. I'm not excusing it, but it's wrong.
But Joe, when we agree with what's going on in Iraq, we agree with being in Iraq in the war, it's pretty easy for us to do what you're saying. But what about those people who don't agree, who are not happy that we're in Iraq? How do we help them to still not tarnish, you know, to be against the war without tarnishing our own image and without giving the terrorist ammunition?
Mm-hmm. Jim, you know, we experience that all the time, where we state our opinion if we have an opposing opinion. We have an opportunity to speak out, but then once a decision is taken, we need to fall in line and support that decision if we are American, mm-hmm. if we have the good of the country at heart. We may not agree with the decision. It's taken. The majority rules, or maybe the president made a decision and the Congress supports it. It's our duty, then, to fall in line and support it. We'll have an opportunity in the future to change direction if we feel that's necessary.
Right.
But we need to put a solid face to the rest of the world. We need to be united.
I agree with you about that. Tin Tail, stand by. We're going to be right back with our good friend Joe Conroll, the author of Book Signing to Bestseller and Take Charge of Your Life. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joe Conroll is our guest. Joe, we need your website, please.
Yes, my website, www.goalminds.com. And I have a new website, www.publishandprosper.com.
All right, and
I'm
tell us about
helping other people.
You've been working really hard for the last year or so, helping people who wanted to get published, haven't you?
Yes, I have, and that's very rewarding for me, because everyone has ideas, they have knowledge that other people don't have, and they want to see it in print. And while there are thousands and thousands of books published every year, we each have a small niche that we can impact, and I think that's important. And I know that a lot of business people, small business people, have ideas. They have certain things that they can teach other people. And they just don't think that they can write a book, and that's not true. Anybody can do that, and it's not at all expensive in this day and age.
Can they find out about your writer's camp in July at the publishandprosper.com website?
Yes, they can.
So if they go to Publish and Prosper, they can find out more about Joe's writer's camp, ladies and gentlemen, which she's going to conduct in July. So check that out when you get a chance. Joe...
Thank you, Jim.
We've been talking about this national image. How somebody might be saying, "Well, look, I'm just out here in little town America what can I do with my, you know, I'm making payroll every Friday. I got my business to run. I got soccer practice to go to tonight. And I got, you know, I got a church social to go to Wednesday night. And, you know, and my mom's in the hospital. What can I do? How can I have any time to make a difference?
Two things that I think specifically everyone can do is, first of all, when you get caught up in a conversation where people are becoming upset, who are making irrational statements about a leader, particularly the president, I think we need to shore up the respect that people have for the president, realizing that he is not acting in isolation in most instances. He has the approval of the Congress for the things that he's doing. And we need to tone down the rhetoric. We can, in each instance, take a stand for a rational debate. We can disagree without tearing down the other person.
Ad hominem attacks, personal attacks.
Exactly. We need to continue to respect the other person's opinion, even their right to disagree with us. And the other thing we can do is when we have public officials making irrational statements, we can challenge them for the source of their information. We need to get facts and not just opinions out of these people who were elected to lead us, and we need to get them out of office if they continue to tear at the fabric of our national image, because I think it's too critical. The world is too small today. We have a global economy that affects each one of us in to some degree. And we need to shore up the respect that the rest of the world has for us as Americans. We don't do that by turning on each other and tearing each other down, as our political parties seem to be wanting to do now.
Unnecessary rhetoric, as you say, over-the-top rhetoric, not only tears down our national image, but it actually has literal, direct repercussions on putting our men and women in Iraq and in Afghanistan and other places, putting them in harm's way, doesn't it?
Yes, because they paint us with one paintbrush. And as they see Americans, you know, I lived in Europe for 8 years in peacetime. And we do things, Americans do things that embarrass America. I mean, we're rude in some cases, you know, but they paint all Americans based on their one little experience. And we need to give them the idea that we are more united than we have. They see us fighting amongst ourselves, and they say, well, you know, if you can't even agree, why should we look to you for leadership? Why should we do what follow you in creating a better world for ourselves?
Right. Well, hopefully, you know, one of the things that this prison thing can do is to prove to the world that we actually do believe and practice what we preach.
Exactly. And we've given so many good examples mm-hmm. over there.
Yep.
You know, that's what we need to be highlighting.
The prison thing, believe it or not, I hate to sound like a Pollyanna here, Joe, but this prison thing could actually turn out, if it's handled properly, it could actually turn out to be something that's a benefit for democratizing Iraq and that part of the world. Joe Condrill, give us your website one more time.
Okay, www.publishandprosper.com.
Thank you, Joe, for being here. It's always a pleasure. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim. I've enjoyed it.
Joe Condrill, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.